So we're going to look a bit more at being family-like community and growing in Jesus' grace and truth. I'm going to read again from Galatians and Ephesians. I'm not actually going to unpack these passages, but I want them fresh in our memory as we look at the other things. And I'd encourage you to read the longer passages here that we're taking excerpts from to get the full context. For now, I'm going to read Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And then we'll jump over to Ephesians, and I'll give you that reference as well. So here Paul's addressing Christians of a Jewish background. And he says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." So an incredible passage about how we now relate to God as those adopted in Christ. And then if we flick over to Ephesians, it's the next book in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, I'll read a slightly longer passage here. I'll read chapter 2, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. And here Paul is addressing Christians of a Gentile background, which I guess is probably most of us. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups," that's Jews and Gentiles again, "has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Shall we pray? Father God, these are wonderful truths that we would not dare to make up, that you would not just forgive our sin, but adopt us into your family and bring together a new humanity in Christ. Lord, we pray that as we look at some other passages of the Bible now and think of ways in which we might live in family-like community and help each other to grow in Jesus' grace and truth, help us to have these passages as our bedrock, that you have made us family. Please help me as I preach now, and help us all as we listen to you from your word. Amen. So I wonder if, like me, you come across quite a few groups that describe themselves with family language. Maybe a friendship group that says we're like brothers or we're like sisters. Might be a team, might be a club. Might even be your company. I think that's going out of fashion a bit now, but for a while, I think lots of companies like the idea of saying they were family-like. And they use that language to express something about the closeness of relationships. But church family is different. Church family is real because of Jesus, and it's distinctive because it's all about Jesus. The Bible shows us that we are made family in Christ, and then we are made Christ-like in his family. We're made family in Christ, and then made Christ-like in his family. We'll look briefly again at being made family in Christ. We have spent time in Galatians and Ephesians already, so we're not going to go over this again in detail. The point, I think, that's worth repeating is that we can't separate our salvation from our place in God's family. We're saved in Christ, we're adopted in Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You do sometimes hear people say, what really matters is their relationship with God. And the implication is, sometimes not even the implication, church is kind of optional and maybe even a hindrance. And that's just not biblical. So if you're ever tempted to think that way, then remember that you were adopted in Christ, if you're trusting in him, and your fellow Christians have also been adopted in Christ. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ, bought with his blood and precious to him. So we're made family in Christ. Let's now just spend a little bit of time thinking about how family-like community helps us grow in Jesus' grace and truth. How we are made Christ-like in his family. And one way of thinking about this is, where are we heading as a church family? What's the direction of travel? Well, the Bible gives us a really big view of the answer to that question. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's big. So in eternity future, Jesus will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters made like him. That's where church family is heading. So as we try and think about family like community and what that means, that's what it's for. That's where we're heading. We could put it another way, perhaps more simply. God's family obeys him. Here's Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. I'll summarize the first few verses. You might remember this is where Jesus is sat with people listening to him, and someone comes in and says, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. So when we think about living as family-like community, I think the questions for us to be asking ourselves are we helping each other to be like Jesus, to grow in his grace and truth? And are we helping each other to do God's will? So what might that look like as we share life in family-like community? We're just going to look at a few things because there's so much we could say, and this will not at all be comprehensive. And we are going to jump around a bit between different Bible passages. I'm conscious that's a bit different from normal. I hope it's not too confusing. First of all, I want us to think about family-like commitment and care, which is really the basis for the next two things we'll think about as well. And briefly, I want to add at the beginning that becoming part of God's family does not undermine, and it shouldn't undermine, it does not replace the family unit of your household and your wider family. The Bible is clear that relatives have a duty to each other. The church should not hinder husbands, wives, parents, and children from obeying God in those roles. And at the same time, we must be careful that no one in the church family is left isolated. In Acts 2, we read that passage about the early church in Jerusalem, what life looked like for them. And you might remember that we see there they were part of each other's daily lives. They met up in public and in each other's homes. They shared their possessions. They provided for those in need. And they were distinctively Christian about all of that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, it says. And they praised God. And as a church family, we can be enjoying all of that too. Not just gathering on Sundays, but sharing life together. Getting close enough to each other to see the needs and then meeting those needs. And all of this should be Jesus-centered, with prayer and praise a normal part of life together. Now, it's actually wonderful to see a lot of this happening in Emmanuel already. And if you read that passage in Acts 2, you see that people in Jerusalem could clearly see the church there living like this. It says that they had the favor of all the people. And wouldn't it be great if people in North Stowe knew of us as this family-like community because we're in Christ? So that's family-like commitment and care, which is really the basis for the next couple of things we'll think about. Next, family-like correction and reconciliation. So when families are committed to each other, they're willing to deal with the problems. If you have a friendship group and you fall out, you kind of have that option of just terminating the friendship and going finding someone else. Family's not like that, or it shouldn't be like that. We're committed to each other, so you work through the problems. And church family should be like that. We should be willing to correct each other, to repent, to forgive, and be reconciled. We've received grace from Jesus, so we should be showing grace to one another. And correction should be family-like. So Paul tells Timothy, this is 1 Timothy chapter 5, first couple of verses, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." So you hear the family-like correction that's going on there. Or Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." And there's a longer version of that in Matthew 18 as well that you could read. So correction should always be about winning the brother or sister to repentance, not winning the argument. Reconciliation is the aim. And when we know that we're the ones in the wrong, we shouldn't wait to be challenged and think that's how it works. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. "If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." And we might remember how precious the unity of the church is to Jesus. He prayed about it the night he was arrested. So let's share Jesus' heart for church unity and be willing to correct each other in a family-like way with gentleness. And then lastly, and more briefly, I want us to think about family-like welcome. Family can sound a bit exclusive, but we shouldn't be an inward-looking family. We shouldn't be a holy huddle, to use that phrase. We should never be like the disciples in that moment when they kept little children from being brought to Jesus. No, Jesus welcomes the weak, the small, the marginalized, the sinners, and so should we. And it's interesting here that church family is truly family-like in being all age. We started saying, we come across these other groups that describe themselves as family. But my observation is that often those groups all look very like each other in terms of the kind of demographic. So we should welcome people that Jesus adds to the family. We should even welcome those who have wronged us. And in Acts 9, we read about one of the most amazing welcomes into God's family for a new believer. This is Paul, or Saul. We've read from his letters today. He'd been a persecutor of the church. And then he's blinded by his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it's Ananias who's given the job of going and healing Saul. Understandably, he's quite worried about this. This is Saul, he persecutes Christians. But what do we read when Ananias goes to Paul? Acts 9:17. "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" So I hope there aren't people that we would struggle to welcome into the church family, but if Ananias can do that for Paul, I think we can do that for those who have hurt us. That case arises. So we long to see our family-like community grow, and we should show family-like welcome as it does. Committing to family-like community helps us to grow in Jesus' grace and truth. We've considered just three ways we can be like Jesus. Because Jesus cares for us, he's committed to us, he corrects us, and he welcomes us. So we should do the same for each other, be Christ-like in that. And then for those Jesus brings into his family as well as he builds his church. And as we do that, we'll have the joy of growing in Jesus' grace and truth. That will be a healthy church that's growing in Jesus' grace and truth. And more than that, we'll put the truth about Jesus on display to the world. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 15, Paul says to Timothy, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." So the church is God's family, and it's the pillar and foundation of the truth that holds up the truth about Jesus for the world to see.